All right, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. And we are marching through this psalm. And it is, I have to just share personally about this, that as I have been working through this psalm, and you have been with me, it is quite an adventure as I come to study and prepare a sermon every week on this passage. It is very challenging because, remember, the Psalm 119 pretty much talks about God's Word in every single verse. And what we are finding is that the psalmist is just coming at it from all different directions and perspectives. I have to tell you that as I sat down to finalize my thoughts for this evening, I was getting quite frustrated and hitting walls, and that happens. And so sometimes I'll get up and go shoot a few hoops, or just walk away. You gotta do that sometimes. But time and time again, God is faithful, and I trust that God will use my feeble attempts here tonight as a blessing in your hearts and lives. We're in Psalm 119. We're going to be picking up our passage here in verse 73. This is the stanza that begins with the Hebrew letter Yod, which is the smallest member of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's just, it looks almost just like a little comma. Or is it apostrophe? Oh, right. Yeah, it's just a tiny little thing. But we have a whole stanza here that begins in the Hebrew with this letter. Let's read it together. As we are reading, let me just share with you what I believe God desires us to learn tonight and to be challenged with. And that is these things. O God, you are my maker. O God, you are my God. In you I find comfort. In you I find life. In you I find stability. So I trust that you look for those things as we read tonight. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Now let's just look at this. Back at 73, let's look at the different times we see God's word mentioned. Verse 73, that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 74, I have hoped in thy word. Verse 75, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. Verse 76, according to thy word. Verse 77, for thy law is my delight. Verse 78, I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 79, I have those that have known thy testimonies. And verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Each one of these different words, we are referring to what? The same thing, aren't they? God's holy word. And the psalmist, in this entire psalm, continues that way of communicating. So tonight, as we look at this, our first thought that I believe God desires to just remind us of or imprint upon our minds is that, God, you are my maker. God, you are my maker. The psalmist writes in verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." This idea of God making me, of God giving me my constitution, of establishing me. And that's the picture that the psalmist is presenting here to us. You have made me, you've fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. In other words, we have been made and fashioned and established by God. And so therefore the psalmist is saying, God, you are my maker. Will help me to understand your word. Give me that understanding that I truly might grasp the incredible truths that are there. Look at verse 90 in the same chapter. Psalm 119:90, it says this, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." You know, dear ones, God is our maker, and he is the creator of this earth, and of this world, and of you, and of me. I was reminded of Psalm 139, and if you want to turn there as well, we'll read just a couple verses from there, but speaking again of how God has made us, Psalm 139 and verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them." You know, why is it important that we understand that God is our maker? Why is this a thought the psalmist wanted to meditate upon? Well, you think about in our lifetime, in our life, and the things that we do, the things that we make. When you make something, you have some authority over it, don't you? You know the ins and out and the outs of how that was put together. I know some of you are in manufacturing, and as you put together a machine or make a tool or whatever it might be, you know exactly what that can handle. You know exactly how it works and what it needs to operate correctly. You are its designer and maker. So you have some authority over it that no one else has. You know, it's important we recognize that about God. We recognize that we go to that point, that truth, that God, you know what? You are my maker. Your hands have made me. And isn't it interesting? Does God have hands? That's the right answer. I mean, God is a spirit. So the psalmist here said, he's just helping us by drawing this idea, "Thy hands, O God," basically, God, in your incredible ability, you've made me. You've fashioned me. You have the authority over me. You know everything about me. And so therefore, the plea is, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. You know, one thing I love about the psalmist is that it's not about himself. It's about God's word. And it's about how he recognizes his incredible need for it. And so he's consistently driving himself back to, I need your word. Yes, I recognize you are my maker. Listen, God, I want to learn your commandments. And so I claim you as the authority over my life. Help me to understand your commandments. So, God, you are my maker. In verses 74 and 75, O God, you are my God. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. O God, you are my God. When the Bible talks about, especially in a context such as this, about fearing God, we need to think about it in this way, reverencing God. In other words, ascribing to him great honor. In other words, it's almost the picture of a lowest of lowest servants that comes before a king and lays prostrate before him because he is in the presence of great royalty. Now that is just greatly diminished when we take it and compare it to God, because nothing is compared to God and his greatness. But this idea of fearing God is the idea of reverence, of approaching him with absolute respect and awe. And so what the psalmist is saying here, and this is really interesting, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Now, think about that. When they that are fearing God, when they see me, they'll be glad. They'll be rejoicing. Isn't it nice to be around people that fear the Lord? I have to admit, life just seems to go a little bit easier when you're around other people that think like you do, believe and reverence God, and give him respect. I mean, you find when you go to work and you're around people that do not fear God, it's challenging, isn't it? I mean, there's a whole different mindset, worldview, perspective. But here what we're seeing is the psalmist is saying, those that fear thee, they'll be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have hoped in thy word. In other words, God's word and hoping in it is what is produced in the psalmist of fear of God. And that same thing was true in all of these other people that he's talking about. And so let's take it to you and me. Do we hope in God's word? Another way of saying that is are we waiting upon it? Resting in it? As we rest and find hope in God's word, that will drive us to fearing and honoring God. The fear of God. Let's just look at what Proverbs has to say about that. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs has a lot to say about fearing God. But look at what it has to say. This is what I believe is the theme verse of this of the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, dear ones, as we consider God, he's our maker. He is also, he's our God. We worship and fear him as such. And as we do, we will find great camaraderie with others who worship him too. There will be rejoicing together. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Notice again, the credit does not go to the psalmist, but it goes to the word of God. It is the word of God that produces this incredible fear. Let's just take a moment for application. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? Are you a person that, as you approach decisions in life, you don't want to make them without including God in them? Do you have an incredible respect for God and who he is, that you find yourself driven to your knees in prayer? It's easy, and I know, to get washed away in this culture, in the busyness of life, in our worship, and the fear of God is diluted, if you will, by all of the distractions of this world. How can you fear God? Hope in His Word. Wait in His Word. Rest in His Word. Dive deep into it. Fill your time in your life with its truth. And as you do, you will find yourself growing in your respect and awe for God. It's His Word. And as you do that more and more in your life, you will find and you'll develop a fear for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Oh God, You are my Maker. Oh God, You are my God. And under this, we see this in verse 75. Oh, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. You know what? Oh God, You are my God. Because I believe that, I know You always do what's right. You know, this is a thought that, you know, believe it or not, I probably never put into words. And just a couple years ago, I just finally got wrapped my head around this thought. You know what? God's always right. Always. And He always does what's right. And the psalmist here, You've been faithful to me in my afflictions. Your judgments, I know. In the Hebrew, this is a verb of completion. So in other words, He already knows. He has experienced this truth. Your judgments are right. In other words, Your word and the decisions in it are always right. You aren't wrong. When You make choices and decisions, they are exactly what You desire to have happen. Exactly what we need in our lives. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing that is. That we can trust in God's Word and in God Himself that He's always right. I mean, that's a confidence that nobody else has. No other religion or anything. We alone have that in God. He's always right. So, oh God, You are my God. In You, I know You're always right. I can have that confidence. In You, I am confident. In You, I find comfort. Look at verse 76. Let, I pray thee, Thy merciful kindness. And this, and that word there is, that's the Hebrew word chesed. That's goodness, faithfulness, loving kindness. Let, I pray thee, Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to Thy word unto Thy servant. How does God communicate His loving kindness to you and to me? It's through His word that we understand it. How do you know God, dear ones? How do you know Him? You understand Him through His Word. That's the only way. As we have His Word, it communicates His person and who He is. Let, I pray thee, Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to Thy Word unto Thy servant. We understand that God is my God. In Him we find confidence. In Him we find comfort. In His tender, loving care, you and I can find the solace, the peace that we so long for in a busy world, in a difficult life. You long for comfort? You will find it. You will find it in God's Word and as it speaks of God and His loving kindness. And there are times throughout the Scriptures where you see the tenderness of God. And as you read those stories and those accounts, you think of Jesus, don't you? And think of Jesus as he was walking along the way and he felt a tug on his robe. And looking down, there was a woman who had a disease and had been suffering with it for a long time. And God, in his tender mercy, you know, who knows what that woman was like, but in his tenderness, he reached out and he healed her. You know, that's the same God that you and I serve today. He's tender, he's merciful. In him we find comfort. Verse 77, in him we find life. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. You know, as we look at this, the psalmist is not necessarily talking about the idea that he's in danger of dying. He's talking about, I am given vibrant, exciting, abundant life because of you, God. Because of your tender mercies. God, your law, it's my delight. And I like how those two things go together, delight and life, don't they? I mean, if you think of a person that is just vibrant and full of life, they're a delight to be around. They are just fun and they're exciting. God's word is the psalmist's delight here. And he testifies that in God I find life. You know, as you think about that idea of life, I remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I am reminded of John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and in the life was the light of men. In him we find confidence, in him we find comfort, in him we find life. And finally, verses 78 through 80, we find stability. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Notice here, the psalmist is talking about a situation where things weren't necessarily going his way. There were people that he calls them proud, and they were dealing perversely. That word perverse, perverted, it's the idea of being crooked. And they were dealing with him in a crooked way. In other words, the truth was just wrapped around them. And it was they were being dealt with in a crooked manner. Without a cause, he says. Have you ever been there? Has someone ever dealt with you in a perverted way? In a way that was not the way of truth? And you didn't even deserve it? The psalmist says, even then I'm going to meditate in thy precepts. You know what, dear one? This is not fatalistic either. I mean, the psalmist here is not just throwing up his hand and saying, oh, I'm just going to continue to read the word and, you know, all this stuff happens to me, but I'm just going to read the word. No, he's reading the word because this is his foundation for life. And he finds that life out there is difficult. And he finds it that his heart, he's just driven right back to this, his word, God's word. Verse 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. You know this idea of being ashamed? You may think about what that means, to be ashamed. To be ashamed is you want to kind of hide, don't you? You just think of Adam and Eve. They were ashamed, and what did they do? Of their nakedness. They were ashamed of their nakedness, so they went and they hid. They kind of covered themselves. You know, to be ashamed is you want to go and hide because you have something to cover. The psalmist says, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Dear ones, you want to walk through this world, walk through this life with a confidence that cannot be shaken? God's word will give that to you as you trust in it. As you recognize God as your maker, and God, He's my God. I find confidence in Him. I find comfort in Him. I find life, vitality in Him. And I find stability. I can stand firmly upon His truth. First John chapter 2, verse 28 says this, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Let me read that again. "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear," who's that? Who's going to come? Yes, Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to come and He's going to appear. "We may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." It's a big thought, because He could come at any moment. Tonight might be our last, dear ones, on this earth. And John there in 1 John writing, you know what? Little ones, abide in Him now. Now. Rest, dwell in Him now. So that when He does appear, you have confidence. You're not hiding. And you're not covering up. But you've got the confidence knowing, "I've been resting and dwelling in You, my Jesus. Nothing to be ashamed of. You are my maker. You are my God. I find confidence. I find comfort. I find life. You're my foundation." Isn't that exciting? The things God teaches us? You know, I just get overwhelmed to think about, as I study these truths, as God brings forth these things, it's alive. And He wants us to know these things and apply them in our lives. I believe that. Otherwise, He wouldn't help me to put these kinds of messages together. And I'm not saying these are great messages. But what I'm saying is God has a great message here, and He wants us to know it. So, dear ones, be amazed. Be amazed that your Creator God, He knows you, He's made you, He's fashioned you. Rest in Him and His Word, because He is your God. Lord Jesus, I thank You for our time together tonight. And again, I just want to praise You and thank You for guiding us in this study. Lord, even as I conclude, I just am amazed as I think about the truths that You have brought forth for us tonight. And Lord, You're speaking to us. And it is just thrilling to be a part of that process. Well, God, take Your people. And Lord, as they go their separate ways this evening, I know You go with them. I pray that they would know Your presence. That they would walk intimately with You this week. That You would be merciful unto them and be their comfort. Lord, give them vitality and life, that they know must only come from you. Lord, help them to stand firmly upon the foundation of your word. And Lord, as the world comes at them and seeks to cause them to stumble, Lord, drive them back to your precious word. Thank you, Jesus, for being our head. Thank you for being alive and active in our lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen.